Our 24th study in the book of Isaiah brings us to Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. And we will be covering chapters 38 and 39 today. And so, Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 38, verse 1, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.'" God told Hezekiah that he would soon die. God gave him time to prepare himself and his household for life after his death. It is a blessing when a person knows in advance that they are going to die, especially if they're not right with God. Verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord." Hezekiah had no hope at this point. He had gotten the word from God, "You're going to die." So he had one chance. Pray to God. 3. And he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He says, "God, I've been with you all the way. We've been close. Remember how I've lived for you. If I ever needed you, Lord, it's right now." Verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying," the first message from God was, "You're going to die." Now there's a second message. Verse 5. "Go and say to Hezekiah, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, I will add to your days 15 years. 15 years. Well, the year was 702, so Hezekiah died in 687 BC. And we learn from this that life and death are in the hands of God. Not in some disease, not in some accident, or anyone else. 6. "I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." As an added bonus, God promised that he would protect his people from their enemies as well. 7. "And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken." Isaiah was a true prophet, and the Lord worked through him to give the signs of a prophet. Anyone can say, "Thus says the Lord, this or that will happen. Do a miracle. Improve that you speak from the Lord like Isaiah did. Like what will happen here, or like the apostles did in the New Testament." I had a man come into church a couple of months back, and he started saying, "Oh, God told me this, and God told me that," and he started saying some things that were not even in line with Scripture. I says, "Hold it." I interrupted him. I said, "Wait a minute. You're speaking these great lofty words. God told you this, and God told you that. Before you say anything else, do the sign of an apostle or the sign of a prophet." And he walked out all angry. Well, good riddance. Verse 8, "Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down." God either reverse the spin of the earth to make the sun go back toward the east, Or maybe God took Isaiah back in time. Who knows? That could have happened. Neither would be a problem for God. One thing is certain. It was a miracle, which only God could do. Verse 9. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. Hezekiah composed a prayer of thanksgiving. Here it goes. Verse 10. I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. Hezekiah was just hitting his stride as king and in life in general when he was told that he would die. Verse 11. I said, I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. He thought, I'll never worship God in his temple again. Good people don't want to die and forfeit opportunities to serve God in this world. 12. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. The king's sickness was getting worse and getting worse fast. His life seemed like a tent, quickly put up and quickly taken down. 13. I have considered until morning like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me. He was in a lot of pain. It was like his bones were being crushed. He was struggling against despair. 14. Like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes failed from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. He was groaning with pain. And prayer was getting to be very hard work. Verse 15, what shall I say? He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. In other words, he said, I didn't know what to say. God allowed all this, and the king did not know why. All he could do was pray. 16, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. I had one hope, God, and it was you. And you came through. God, you gave me my life back. 17. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. Suffering isn't fun, but Hezekiah knows what we all should remember. God allows it for our own benefit. 18. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. Dead people cannot put their trust in God. God let the king live so he could be an example of what it means to trust God. 19. The living man, he shall praise you, as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. Dead people cannot put their trust in God. And God let the king live so that he could be an example of what it means to trust God. And the king is glad to be alive. One reason he was glad, the living can praise God in front of others who are living in this world where it's not always easy to praise him and be a testimony. 20. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Praise is contagious, very contagious, and so is faith. Hezekiah was spreading both faith and praise. and God was being glorified as a result. 21. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. The boil was probably one of the symptoms of Hezekiah's fatal disease. God healed, but only after Hezekiah exercised obedient faith. God blesses when his people act on faith. 22. And Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? And he got the sign too. The sun went backwards. And that's a pretty amazing sign, isn't it? Chapter 39. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. It is likely, I would think, that the king of Babylon was more interested in forming an alliance against mighty Assyria, who was the big superpower at that time, than he was in simply wishing well to Hezekiah. Verse 2, and Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Hezekiah was very flattered by the attention that he got from Babylon. And so he let down his guard and he did a very foolish thing. He showed the officials from Babylon the nation's great wealth and its armory. That was sort of like giving a thief and a robber the combination to your safe. Verse 3. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say? And from where did they come to you? And Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. Hezekiah probably knows that he did wrong, so he attempts to cover his mistake by telling Isaiah that the men came from a far country. I wanted to be nice to them. After all, they were such a long way from home. 4. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Isaiah wouldn't be asking such scrutinizing questions if showing the Babylonians everything wasn't the wrong thing to do. To his credit, Hezekiah confessed, I've showed them everything. 5. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. In other words, God has something to say, which means Hezekiah knows that he's in big trouble. Verse 6, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. All those valuables which you so proudly displayed for the Babylonians, are going to take them away. Verse 7. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And they did take Hezekiah's son Manasseh as well. Of course, as we will see, Manasseh was so wicked that he deserved to be taken away. He was one of the worst kings, if not the worst king that Judah ever had. Verse 8, then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. The king hears about all the trouble his prideful actions will bring on his family and his nation. His response is just incredible to me, because this is a godly man. His response, oh good, I'm glad that it won't happen in my lifetime. I'm glad that I won't live to see this horrible mess that I've caused. What is that? You never would have expected it from him. But it just goes to show that even a godly person has moments of sinful self-centeredness. Next time, chapter 40. Until then, Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.